sing that little chorus before the pastor comes. I'm pressing on as I go to that city where mansions are prepared for me. I'm pressing
praise the Lord. God's good, isn't it? Praise God. I've been thinking all week. I really enjoyed that Sunday morning service with Brother John. And I've been praying this week for more oil. And then I was listening to James McConnell's testimony. I put it on YouTube. It's a long testimony. It's like really his life story. And he was telling how the angel came to him in the drawing room in the shipyard, the duffel coat and the brown buttons and the turban on. And he said to him, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see a drawing room." He says, "Look again." And he seen a man filling three different sizes of vessels with oil. And he says, "You choose which vessel you want to be, small, medium or large." And he wanted to be the large vessel that was getting filled with oil. And I tell you, doesn't the Bible say, bring your vessels, not a few. God will fill them. And he began to walk the roads after that, praying for God to move. And it's a powerful story. And some of the men tell about the different times the angel came to them. Other people don't like to talk about that. But you can't change what God's done. That's the one thing about it. And the Lord good. Praise the Lord. So I've been praying more oil, Lord. I want more oil. If I can get the oil, everything else will work out. That's the most important thing, isn't it? We need the more oil. But I'll tell you one thing really which fascinated me about the man's testimony more than anything was the hunger he had for God. The hunger. And a lot of Christians today, they have absolutely no hunger for God. They're not interested. They give God a wee tiny bit of their time, that's about it. He's only allowed to fit into a bit of their time. That's it. But I'll tell you, it's different when you're surrendered completely. And he's on your thoughts all the time. And that's the way we want. We want to fall in love and fresh with the Lord afresh, don't we? Praise the Lord. I want to pray for a man, Brother George mentioned tonight, Eddie, and continue to pray for Sister Eiling. And I got to visit my Sister Andrea on Monday. Took the day off. And she's doing really well. She appreciates all your prayers. And she's doing really, really well. And we just thank the Lord. And then Sunday night, did the meeting up in Castle Dirk. It's a new work that's just started. And I do believe God was speaking to people that was there. And We just thank the Lord, you know, for his goodness, for his mercy and his grace. Praise God. We want to turn to Revelation tonight, and this is a massive subject. And I'm not afraid of it no more. I'll tell you that now. There's for a long time I wouldn't preach on some of these things. And the last time I did Daniel, I never went past certain chapters. I didn't think I could go past them. But I'm telling you one thing, if I preach on it again, I'm going to every one of them. Because it's God's word. And we should never be afraid of a doctrine. Because the truth, sir. And if it's line upon line, precept upon precept, that's what we want, isn't it? We don't want somebody's idea of it. We want the real thing, praise God. Let's read from Revelations, and I might read a few verses further down. We'll read the first four of Revelations 5, and tonight I just want to talk a little bit about the Lamb and the seven seal book. And I'm coming at this different than what I've ever heard of it, when I've heard it. My focus is not the focus what other people's had for a focus. My focus is not their the same focus as them. I'm focusing different. I'm trying to do what I believe God's told me to do, and that's to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
That'll be my focus. No matter if what part of the Bible I'll be in, that's where I'm heading. The Lord. We need to see the Lord. Let's read this, praise God. So let's stand our feet just while we read these four verses, then we're going to pray. Revelations 5, verse 1 to 4. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Let's bow our heads tonight, praise God. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. We're going to pray for you, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name that's far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. What a name. What a privilege that we can come in your name and gather in your name. And you promised us you'll be with us. And you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you'll be in our midst because we're gathered in your name. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will be in our midst tonight. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost afresh right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray for the hands that's raised. You know the needs. I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet every need. We come against every work of the devil. And we bind it in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for this Eddie tonight that our brothers mentioned, that you'll touch him, minister unto him and heal him, and above all, save him. And speak to him tonight and cover him with your precious blood and the life of the blood in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for me, Auntie Eiling, let the life of that blood that we heard on Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost, come back upon me, Auntie Eiling, and touch your dear good Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and continue to touch my sister and pray for the backslidden tonight as well. You'll speak to them and move upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for all those that couldn't come tonight with work or some other situation or laid aside sick, bless them, strengthen them and touch them. And Father, bless all the nurses and doctors, we pray, and have your way. Now help us with your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This is a tremendous revelation that God's given to John. And you know, this book's often referred to as a scroll. So I might say scroll or book, but you don't know what I mean. And as John continues to receive this revelation from the throne of God, he's in this vision, he's in the spirit on the Lord's day. And John is introduced to an item of central importance, and it's a book. And this book's of central importance, actually a scroll of the prophecy of intent, future events is to take place. And not only these future events, but God is unfolding to John the revelation of these things which to take place in the future. And the scroll it's given prominence by the fact that it is in the right hand of God. So when you think of the right hand of God, that's prominence. And it's important when you read that. And this book is sealed with seven seals, and you cannot read this book until these seven seals are broken off it. And, you know, the seven seals, it's for a time when these seals are to come off this. And I know the number, it might be a symbol in the sense of a number, but it's important. Every number in the Bible is important. Sevens or threes or whatever, it's, all these things are important. And this is God's will, and we can see God's will through this, what's revealed through these things. And God shown this to John. It's a secret, but it's shown to John. John's seeing it, and it's for the end time. Seven seal book. And this is about the inheritance. And this inheritance is the inheritance which Christ will receive from the Father. This is the kingdom. So this is something that's going to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a few things. I don't want to jump the gun. I want to bring this out slowly. What I have in my mind, what I've been thinking about. If we go to Psalms 2, verse 1 to 12, and let's just read it for a moment. You see, this is the Lord's, the inheritance of Christ. This book is in the right hand of God, and it's been given out, and it's the Lord's inheritance. Now, there's something to this. Psalms 2, verse 1 to 12. Why do the heathen reason? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth are set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them with a sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So this is a possession that the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize this. This seven seal book is going to be given to no other man. And there's no other man can do a thing with it. And if I can bring this out, I have got it. You will see they can't, for they're not worth it. But this man's worth it, Jesus Christ. That's why he can open it. But nobody else can open it, because it wouldn't be worth it. But he's worth it. Verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dice them in pieces. This is all about the Lord, this psalm here. Be wise now therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with tremble, and kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So John's attention is brought to this book by the pronouncement of a strong angel. So as a mighty angel makes this pronouncement, and the objective strong indicates that an important angel is selected to make this pronouncement. So even the angel that's selected in heaven to make this announcement is a special angel. And Revelations 10, 7 says that, or sorry, 10, verse 1. Revelations 10, 1 says this. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet was as it were the sun, and his feet were pillars of fire. Mighty angel. Revelations 18, 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. So the Bible talks about mighty angels. Mighty angels. And this mighty angel makes this announcement. And when we look at these scriptures, we see the same word translated, mighty. The two angels named in scripture, Michael and Gabriel, are mighty angels. And they're named in scripture. But this angel is not identified by name. They're identified by name. This angel's not identified by name. Now I'm going to say this. A lot of people can guess and stick an amen here. But is that really true or not? That's venture without authority, in my opinion. But we have to let the Bible do the talking. And it will unfold what it is. And these two angels, Michael and Gabriel, but this angel's not identified here by name. The proclamation is given with a loud voice as the angel asks, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals of the book? And John, the records, there's no one found in all of creation. That's what the record gives. The contents of this scroll is impressive. And this is another indication that the contents of the scroll is so impressive it requires the power of God for the revelation of it. That's what it requires, the power of God for the revelation of it, as well as the execution of the program that's in it. But what's in these scrolls is going to require the power of God to reveal it and to bring it to pass. That's what it's going to require. There'll be no man fit to do this. No man. And John tells us he wept because it seemed the scroll, the contents, would remain a mystery. And this dramatic presentation of these seven sealed scrolls was a sign to impress upon John the importance of the contents and the revelation contained within it. So when you read this, we can see there's something deadly important in this. That it's actually not to be revealed at a certain time. And, you know, there's only one that's worthy to open this book, that's the Lamb. Now, if you go to verse 5 to 7 of Revelation, and I didn't read this, but the Lamb who's worthy to receive the book. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. John wept. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So he takes the book out of the right hand. Now, where did the Bible talk about Jesus seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high? John's distress. It doesn't last for that long, but John's worried, John's weeping, John's looking, and John sees nobody worthy. Nobody thinks it's a lost cause. And I tell you, there's a lot of things we could look at like that, and we could weep. Are you hearing me tonight? But there is one that can change it. And he can change it, a lost cause, in a moment. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can change it. And because one of the 24 elders in the vision tells him there is indeed one worthy. And one of these 24 elders tells him there's one worthy to take the scroll of this book and open these seals. And what follows is a wonderful description of Christ. And what is described here is a picture, a perfect picture, not of an angel or of a man, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the description of the Lion is referenced to Genesis 49. And we're going to read Genesis 49, verse 9 to 10. Judah is a lion's whelp, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And I tell you, I don't know if you remember when I preached a message on Shiloh. It's a while back. But all these names and things are referencing to the Lamb of God. And I tell you, now I'm going to go into it in a moment, but he is the Lamb of God, but he's also depicted as the Lion. And the Lamb is a little quiet lamb, and he opens not his mouth, but the lion's not like that. The lion roars. And this book here and this revelation, there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. And I tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about the rapture, I'm talking about the actual second coming of the Lord. The rapture's between the first coming and the second coming. The second coming is when we're with him, king and queen. I'm going to come on to the Mount of Olives. And you know, after the rapture takes place, God's wrath is hitting this earth. Tribulation's coming. And I tell you, it's going to be an awful time. You see, this tells us of the future ruler coming from the tribe of Judah. This is what this scripture's telling us. There's a future ruler coming from the tribe of Judah, the land of the tribe, which is the tribe in which Jesus Christ was born. Now, we know this is Satan's Eden at the minute, but he's a squatter. But there's someone coming. There's a land coming. And I'm telling you, the squatter is going to be put out. And not only is the squatter going to be put out, he's going to be bound in chains for 1,000 years. And I tell you, the rightful owner's coming. He's coming to claim what's his. And he's been given it from the right hand of the mighty one himself. Look at this here, this Judah reference. Isaiah 11, verse 1 and verse 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Till it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is declared that he has conquered. A reference to Christ's victory on the cross. So this one that came forth, that could take this book and loose these seals, he's a mighty conqueror. Behold the mighty conqueror. Our sister Noble used to sing, see him in plain view. This mighty conquering, it referred to the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that conquered on the cross and defeated death, defeated hell, defeated the grave. Not another man could do it. So not another one can take this book. This is only his. He's the only one can do this. He's the center of the message. He's the one we need to preach and declare. There's nobody else can be lifted up to match the Lord. And they should never be. He will not give us glory till another. This is the mighty conqueror. In Revelation 5, verse 6, and there between the throne, and I want to read this from another version just to get this phrase. And there between the throne and the four living creatures, beings, and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, the sevenfold, the Holy Spirit, who have been sent, you know, right out to the whole world, into all the earth. They've been sent, the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other scriptures here. I won't go to all of them. But Revelation 22, 16 says this, and Jesus have sent mine angel, and I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. So when we see and we know about the 7 angel messengers, 7 stars, a star represents an angel. And there are 7 angel messengers, one for each church age. Star represents an angel. Angel represents a messenger. There's 7 messengers, one to each age. But we're not to worship any of the angels. The angels that's come are to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of them will receive worship. For even this one that give this forth, when John went to worship him, he said, do not. I'm of thy fellow servants of prophets. You can't worship me. That's what he told John. He forbid John to worship him. So I'll tell you what, it's a lot different from a lot of people today who want to worship a man. Behold, he's conquered. So this land is conquered. The land of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, Christ's victory over sin and death, and the grave has earned him the right to take the scroll and to break the 7 seals. The scripture distinguishes between the opening of the scroll, which would involve the beginning of a process of unrolling it. You see, when you think of that scroll, don't think of a book here like the Bible like this. This is a scroll here in the Bible. It's rolled up and it's sealed. And not only is this rolled up and not only is it sealed, but in the olden times, these scrolls that were rolled up in seals, there was a will in them. And there was an inheritance that was in the will. And when the seals is broken, you roll it open,
At the time of the death, if you've been left alone, at the time of the death, you can break it open and you roll it open and you see what's in the will. And I want to tell you plainly tonight, God has given all to Jesus Christ, and it's in this will. It's been all given to him. He's the one, and it's all given to him. He's the one who's paid for our full redemption. And I tell you, he's taken this whole earth and everything, and we're his, and he's coming for us and everything. It's all in this. This is the will of the Father to the Son. He's willed them in all. Hallelujah. These scriptures are distinguished. And the complete authority to break all these seven seals successfully. Christ can do it. It implies that Christ is completely worthy. And full authority and sovereignty over the contents of the whole scroll is his. They're given to him. And not only are they given to him, think of this. They're handed out by the right hand. Almighty God has given it to him. I tell you, he's given him it all. Yes. Now, nobody else knows all what's in this. And you see, when people talk about don't say it, the devil won't know. Well, he not know what's in this, because only the Lamb. Only the Lamb. I'm going to go further. You know tonight, there's nobody knows when the Lord will actually come. Only the Father. Amen? And he's coming in a secret time. Nobody will know. I don't care who claims what revelation they have. They'll never know it. So when people talk about the coming of the Lord and they put a date on it, you know that's false straight away. They can't do it. There can be no date put on it. Only the Father will know. But he's coming. You see, with this introduction, John fixes his gaze upon the one portrayed as a lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures. And the lamb is described as having been slain, a clear reference to Christ's ministry as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. God's appointed taking away a sin. Here he is. He's a lamb, but he's a lamb. And he's not just any lamb. He's a lamb as it has been slain. He takes away the sin of the world. You see, there's no other person can do that. Now, I know we know that, but I'm going to emphasize it. This has been recorded. I'm going to emphasize this. Nobody else can take away sin. I know there's a lot of nonsense out there. Come and confess your sin to your brother. You're wasting your time. He could be a bigger hypocrite than the next fella. Confess to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your high priest. He's the one touched by the feeling and infirmities. He's the one that God's appointed to take away sin. He has not appointed no one else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. The Virgin Mary's not appointed either. I'm sorry, she's not appointed. She can't do it. As her brother John mentioned on Sunday, she was there on the day of Pentecost. She had to get the same Holy Ghost as the rest got. Isaiah 53:7 says, and he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened us the Lamb of God. Not his mouth, he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. So the word lamb, it's a diminutive word. What that means is that it is reference also to the Passover sacrificial lamb of Israel. And when you think of the Passover sacrificial lamb of Israel, we heard on Sunday morning, the death angel was coming, and the only thing that could save them people was the blood of that lamb. There's nothing else could save them, but he called it the token. And he said, if you apply the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintels, I will see the blood and I'll pass over. And the only thing that can make us fit for heaven is the token, which is the blood of the lamb. And as we heard, the life of that blood comes back on the believer, which is the Holy Ghost, and was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And we can have it today. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? But this Passover lamb, while the lamb speaks of strength, the lamb speaks of meekness. A perfect description of Christ in his first coming as a lamb who submitted to death. And his second coming, he's coming as a conquering lamb. He's not coming the second time to submit to death. He's coming the second time to devour. He's coming as a lamb, hallelujah, with fierceness, with wrath. The Bible says, who may abide the day of his coming? This is the only place in Revelation where Christ is referred to as a lion. You see, these seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. Revelation 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, you know, when you look at the tabernacle and you go back into them candlesticks, which are a type of the church ages, they all drew the oil from the one bowl. So when people talk about what they had wouldn't do for us, that's a false statement. I'll tell you that now. How can you say what they had wouldn't do us? If there's one bowl and all the seven ages, candlesticks, the menorah, the sticks, it's one beaten work. The bowl wasn't fitted on. It's one piece of work made with the man anointed that God had to make it. All of them draw from the same bowl, the same oil. And number one, two, or three doesn't draw less oil than number seven. That's a myth. They all draw the same amount of oil every single age. And people talk about bride age. There's bride in every single church age. Every age. That's why when you read Thessalonians, it said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's Sir Martin Luther, Sir John Wesley's, all the ones that came at that time, that's part of the bride, are going to rise. Every single age. So to make a statement that there's only bride in this age is absolutely false. There's bride in every single age. But we do believe this is the last age. This is the seventh church age. Now I know a lot of people think this age is over. Well, I'll tell you what. They must be either sitting in heaven on the millennium if it is. I don't know what we are doing here if they're right. Praise God. Christ takes the scroll out of the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. This is clearly Almighty God. That's who's on the throne. In the act of receiving the scroll, it is made evident that the judgment and power over the earth are committed to one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is seeing all this, and God is showing John the perfect picture of his plan, what he's going to do. And this, everything's contained in here. And God has given it to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And this is an inheritance, and it's going to be his. And the Lord is coming again. And he's prepared a place for us. John 14 tells us. Daniel 7, verse 13, 14 says, and I saw in the night vision, chapter 7, verse 13, 14, and I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Amen. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. He's going to have an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting domain. These passages reveal the ultimate triumph of Jesus Christ, where the kingdom of the worlds are given to them, all given to them. This is a different picture from the picture when he's in the wilderness for 40 days. And Satan says to them, behold, all these kingdoms will I give you. Now, you know, he could have defended it and had a bit of a talk with the devil and said, hang on, but this or that. He didn't do that. He said to him, it's written. Because the Father's given all to Jesus. And the devil, what was telling him, I'll give you it. You see, he thinks he's God, doesn't he? He thinks he's God. And he wanted to be like the Most High God. He says, I'll be like God. I'll give you them all. But it's only the Father that can do the giving. As many as receive him, to them give he eternal life. Thank God for tonight. I'll tell you, the devil's going to be given nothing. He's going to be stripped and chained and bound. But Jesus Christ will have it all. Hallelujah. This is his triumph. And that future day, complete authority over the world will be realized, that it's Christ, an authority He will exercise both in the judgment that proceed the second coming and in his reign for 1,000 years. There will follow a second coming. And any of the battles, Armageddon, all the Gog and Magog, there's so much in the future what's still to happen. Once again, the scroll of Revelation, the focus is upon Christ. The central character of the scroll, the one whose glory is supremely revealed in the unfolding pages of prophecy, to the Lord Jesus Christ. This Lamb here, and I'm going to have to close after I bring this. I knew I wouldn't get the time. I wouldn't have the time to do all this, what I want to do. Haven't got the time myself to do what I want to do, and I haven't got the time to preach it all. I'm just sharing a few bits with what time I've had, but this Lamb's worthy of worship. He's worthy of worship. And I want to just finish in this wee bit tonight, verse 8 and 10 of Revelation 5. And when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." So he's worthy because he's redeemed us to God by his blood. There's no one else that's worthy because no one else could redeem us. Do you know why no other man could redeem you or me? Because death had a legal claim on every single one of them. But death had no legal claim on the person of Christ. Death had no legal claim on him. He wasn't born in sin. He wasn't shaped in iniquity. But he's a sinless, spotless Son of God, the virgin birth, Jesus Christ. But he willingly stepped into death, challenged it, defeated it, rose on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He's the right to open these seals. He's the right. And he says here, look at this. Redeemed us out of every kindred, thy blood, people, and nation, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth with the Lord. We're going to reign with him. Hallelujah. We're going to reign with him. Look at this scene. The four living creatures, 24 elders, recognize the importance of this scene by falling down and worshiping the Lamb. And I tell you, many of me now have gone into, and people have a religious spirit on them. I'm identifying it tonight. I'm going to start to identify things, not holding back no more. They have a religious spirit on them. And they think if they don't mention certain things in front of people, they'll not be classed as being in the movement. Well, I'll tell you what about the Lord Jesus. These elders had no time to worship or praise, nothing else. They're giving full attention, full reverence to the Lamb of God, because it's his blood that's paid for them. I tell you, he's the one who redeemed us. He wants our worship. He wants our praise. He'll give us the Holy Spirit, as we heard on Sunday. None of these men will give you the Holy Spirit, but the Lord Jesus will baptize you. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. He wants our praise. He wants us to reverence him. And they reverence him. And look, this should make it clear that this being is not a mere prophet or an exalted angel, but the Lord Jesus and all his majesty, his supreme deity. There he is. Even as he's portrayed here, herein, sacrificial role as a Lamb of God who died on the cross. The living creatures and the elders, they've got the harps, haven't they? There's instruments here, which are symbols and instruments of divine worship. And they've got these instruments of divine worship. They're giving him all the praise. They're giving him all the glory. They know he's worthy, and he's the only one worthy. Let me say this evening. I've heard preachers belittling people that come out of the tribulation, foolish virgin. And I've heard them belittling them. But I want you to know tonight they're precious to the Lord. And I want you to know tonight they're coming out robed in white, the Bible says. Who are these that come out of great tribulation, robed in white? And I want to know anybody that comes, that goes through it, but they get saved. They're still precious to the Lord. And I don't believe it's the right spirit to belittle them. Because the Lord won't belittle them. They're his. Saved. Even though not in the bride and the foolish virgin, they'll still be in heaven. They'll still be saved. And you can say by the skin of their teeth, whatever way. But I'll tell you one thing. If we're getting in, aren't we happy? The living creatures and elders hold harps and cymbals and instruments of divine worship and all of the golden bowls of incense. That's the prayers of the saints. The golden bowls of incense. The same Lamb of God has suffered the abuse of the soldiers and the scoffing of the crowd, as well as the agony of the cross, has here been given as rightful worship. So they gnarled on him with their teeth, they spat on him, they plucked his beard, they pierced his hands, they pierced his side, they tore his flesh, whipped his back, and the flesh peeled from his shoulders down over his buttocks. But I want you to know that this Lamb is now the Lamb. Now, in her picture here, don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, he's coming as a judge. He's coming again. And he'll not be put in a cross. He will not be put in a cross. And there'll be nobody plucking his beard or spitting on him this time. And he deserves our reverence. And these elders, these were mighty men. And they fell down. And they worshipped the Lamb. And even when you read through that, in that scripture, where the one says, John, I'm after thy fellow servants of prophets. Don't worship me. Now, if he says it in this book, we must follow it. Amen? And if some people don't like it, because we don't lift somebody up more than the Lord, that's another spirit. It's no different than the same Antichrist of Rome. It's the same Father. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And that's just a few thoughts. And maybe it hasn't been all clear, but trust the Lord will bless you. You get blessed. Revelation says if you read it, you're blessed. Only by reading this book. Let's bow our heads tonight. Then we're going to have a time of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. All the prophets pointed to Calvary, to the cross, the brazen altar, the blood on the doorposts, the token. Every single picture points to the Lamb of God. Lord, here you are in all your glory. Get in your rightful place, your reward. Lord, this book, when it's opened, the will given to you, Lord, for it's yours. It's all yours. Lord, we're yours tonight. For you bought us with a price. What a precious price. For I have not redeemed you by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb, without spot and blemish. Lord, you've redeemed your people. Out of every kindred, nation and tongue, you've got people tonight. Lord, we'll love you tonight because you first loved us. Lord, will you fill us more and more with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Give us more oil for our lamps. Oh God, move in these meetings, I pray. Break through by the power of God into the services. We thank you for what you're doing, but we pray more take place. We welcome you. We welcome you into these meetings. We welcome you into our lives afresh. Lord, help us to surrender all to you. Save our children, we pray. Save our loved ones, we pray. Our aunts, our uncles, nieces, the nephews. Let the power of the Holy Ghost move them and speak to them and save them, we pray. Bless everyone in this room tonight. Bless them, O God. Meet every single need. Answer prayer. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.